from the Stipler Gaon, Rav Yaakov Yisrael Kanievsky, the Halakha Stipler, passed away in 1985, which I guess that's one difference between everyone here and myself. I was alive when the Stipler was in the world. I never met him. He's in Bnei Brak. The father of Rav Chaim Kanievsky, the Halakha Kilas Yaakov, born in Ukraine in 1899, of course, was a famous Gadol Hador in Eretz Yisrael, and again passed away in 1985. So he has a Sefer on Chumash that's called Birchas Peretz. And I want to learn a piece together from Parsha Shmos, which is deeply connected to Purim, and is really fundamental in terms of just Emunah and Bitachon and Hishtadlus, which is a sugya that always needs a lot of chizuk. Okay? So that's what we're going to do today. We'll take a look at this piece. Again, the name of the Sefer you can see on the top is Birchas Peretz. And the piece is found in Parsha Shmos. And you'll see why. He starts off with something related to Moshe Rabbeinu, but very quickly spends most of the piece talking about Purim. Okay, so let's see. Let's see what the Holy Stipler, Rav Yaakov Yisrael Kanievsky, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, has to say. Mavu'er beperakama desota daf yud bez. It's daf yud bez amad bez. The Gemara tells us in the first parak of Sota, Shegzeiras kol haben hayilod, Hayaora Tashlichu, Paro's decree that any boy that is born, any male child that is born, should be thrown into the Or, into the Nile River. Why did Paro make such a decree? Shegazar Paro Hayabishvil Sheetztagninov Amrulo, Shemoshian Sheyisrael Bamayim Huloka. Paro made the decree because Paro was told by his Itztagninov, by his astrologers, that the savior of the Jewish people is going to meet his downfall through water. He's going to meet his downfall through water. In a certain sense, it's true. Moshe Rabbeinu met his downfall through water. Right? Moshe Rabbeinu maybe hitting the rock is that moment where Moshe Rabbeinu, in trying to squeeze out that water, is sentenced not to go into Eretz Yisrael, to not bring Bnei Yisrael into the Holy Land. Right? So it was true. Moshe would, in a sense, meet his downfall with water. But Paro thought, I'm going to stop this savior of the Jewish people by throwing all of the Jewish babies, and not only Jewish, as we'll see, non-Jewish boys as well, into the water. Umitoch papachar hagadol meish zeh, she'osid lahatzil es Yisrael. So Paro is filled with this unbelievable terror. I have to find a way to stop what? To stop this future individual from saving the Jewish people. Gozar al kol habanim lahatvion bayor. So he made a decree that all baby males will be thrown into the Nile River. And he was so paranoid that af al amo gazar, that even for his own people he made the gazera. Right? It wasn't only Jewish babies. It was all male children, all male babies that were born, were thrown into the Nile River as a way to try to stop that prediction that he saw in the stars, his astrologers told him, that the savior of the Jewish people is going to meet his downfall through water. So he says, I'm going to make it happen. And it was all his plan to try to somehow, right, to stop, to outmaneuver this Ish, namely Moshe Rabbeinu, from saving Klai Yisrael. But friends, what we're going to learn today, in addition to the fact that you can't outsmart Hashem, which is something we have to think about every single day, you have to think about that all the time. When something goes right, when something goes wrong, you did not outsmart Hashem. You did not outsmart Hashem to get ahead. And when something goes wrong, you shouldn't say, but I could have, I should have, I would have. No. Hashem's going to put you exactly where you're supposed to be. And Hashem has an amazing sense of humor. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu Dafka, not only does he not allow Paro to catch this Jewish baby, this Moshe, and to destroy him, to kill him in the Nile River, but in the irony of all ironies, who saves Moshe Rabbeinu? Paro's daughter. Who raises Moshe Rabbeinu? Paro himself. This kid is being raised in Paro's palace. The Medrash says, I think it's in Koheles Rabbah, that Paro saw Moshe Rabbeinu as a grandchild. He loved him like his own grandson. Little did he realize that everything that he was trying to do, v'na hafachu, right? That's the story of Purim, but it's the story of our lives. So ulevesov, look what happens in the end. Hayeshabas Paro atzmo, hitzilaso uParo atzmo gidlo bebeso. In the irony of ironies, Bas Paro is the one who saves Moshe Rabbeinu, and Paro himself raises Moshe Rabbeinu in his own palace, on the lap of royalty. Not only does he not suffer, but he has a very delightful, pleasurable upbringing. Va'oso gzeira shegazar, hayo'ore tashlichuhu. And in the most ironic of ways, that very decree that Paro made to throw the Jewish children and throw all the babies into the water, the fact that Moshe was placed in the Nile is dafka, the way that he ended up being saved. It itself, haisa hasiba shal yada ze mitzasu. It was dafka because of that, that Bas Paro found him, v'tivirehu lebeisa, that she brought him home, v'tigadlu lekaben, and she raised him like her own son. What an irony. What an irony. You can't outsmart Hashem. And says the Stipler, all of this is to teach us. Says the Holy Stipler Gaon, all of this is to teach us. And if you printed it out, or if you have the Sefer, underline these next couple of lines, because this is the whole point. V'chol zeh l'lamdeinu, shekol ma'isa enosh v'tachbu losav. Every activity of man. What's a tachbula? I don't know what the word tachbula means. As a tachbula, strategy, right? The strategies that we think we're going to use to get what we want, lo yo'ilu lahaziz afilu ziz kol shehu mima shenigzar b'shamayim, will not cause anything to, will not help, lo yo'ilu, will not help to move anything 1 inch from what is decreed in Shemayim. Now again, I know you're thinking, and we have to be thinking, so what is hashtadlus, right? What is hashtadlus? It's a good question, what is hishtadlus? Hishtadlus is a big game that we play. It's hard to understand what is hishtadlus. If at the end of the day, everything's going to be exactly what's supposed to be, so why do I have to make any efforts at all? Right? Why? And maybe I shouldn't make efforts. Maybe my efforts are only going to undermine what Hashem wants to give me. Maybe I should just leave everything alone and let Hashem run the show. Okay, so obviously there's a degree of hishtadlus that's expected of us. But and Hashem gave us the ability to think. And Hashem put some of those ideas that we act upon in our head as part of carrying out this master plan. But we need to realize that you're not going, and this is the Yesod, you're not going to outmaneuver Hashem. If you think, Paro, you're going to come up with a plan to stop the Moshiach Shel Yisrael, it's not happening. It will not happen. And because you have the audacity to think it, Hashem says, I'm going to raise him right under your nose, in your house, in your palace, saved by your own daughter. V'lo, oh, not only that, the very things that you're going to do, the very pu'ulos, the very actions you're going to do to achieve your desire, that a person does to achieve his own desire, hein heim siba, that becomes the cause. That's what puts things into motion. To bring about what a Kodesh Baruch Hu has truly decreed upon that person. And he quotes an amazing Maimar Chazal. It's a Gemara in Mesachas Sukkah, on Daf Nun Gimel. The Gemara in Sukkah, Daf Nun Gimel, Amud Aleph says, Raglohi de Beznun. Beznun stands for Barnash. Barnash means a person. Raglohi de Barnash, the feet of people. Inun Arvin. What's an Arev? What's an Arev? An Arev is a guarantor. The feet of a person are, so to speak, the guarantors. Inun Arvin lay. They guarantee what? What do your feet guarantee? It's an amazing teaching. Ba'asar d'mitboy, in the place, in the asar, in the place, d'mitboy, that they are needed, taman movilin yasei. There, he will be transported. Right? In other words, your feet are loyal to Hashem. Your feet will get you where you're supposed to be. You shouldn't say, oh, I shouldn't have been in that place. Or if I would have been in that place at that time, I would have this, I would have that. I would have got the job, I would have got the shidduch, I would have, right? Your feet will get you exactly where you're supposed to be. Your feet work for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the place that he's mitboy, the place that he's needed, the place that he's demanded, taman moivilin yasei. Yes, Ashi.
Where's the Gemara?
Sukkah Nun Gimel Amud Aleph.
Sukkah?
Yeah, Sukkah Nun Gimel Amud Aleph. Okay. If I'm wrong, let me know. If it's not there, tell me. Okay, so the place that a person's supposed to be is exactly where he's going to be. So if Moshe Rabbeinu is supposed to save Klal Yisrael, he's going to save Klal Yisrael. And if you think you're going to stop that, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to mamishmak you, right? To show you, with that tremendous sense of irony, almost Hashem's sense of humor, I like to describe it as, that you're not gonna beat the system. You cannot beat the system. And that's why the Chovas HaLevavo says that a person who has bitachon, real bitachon, is a person who has what? Is a person who has menuchas hanefesh, Shalvas HaNefesh. Yishav Adas. Because when I'm anxious, when I'm uptight, when I'm nervous about the situation, a lot of the reason is because I'm trying to control the situation. You're not gonna outsmart HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's going to be what it's supposed to be. So take a deep breath. I realize that Hashem's running the show. If I'm nervous, that means I'm trying to control the situation. That's why Haman is always, again, by Avilu Lahavi as Haman. Haman's trying quickly. He goes in the middle of the night to Achashverosh to tell him, I have a plan, I have an idea. Right? And Achashverosh has a sleepless night. That's all part of the master plan. Purim is the ultimate expression of HaKadosh Baruch Hu toying with those individuals who think that they have the authority to one-up HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to outsmart HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Yeshno Am Echad. What does the Gemara say on that pasuk? When Haman says, Yeshno Am Echad, Mefuzar Mufarad, Yeshno, he says that what? That the Jewish people and their God, right? Or the Jewish people first, are Yeshenim min HaMitzvos. The Jews are sleepy in the performance of mitzvos. And essentially what Haman is saying in the Chazal, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Yashin. God has fallen asleep. Hinei lo yanum v'lo yishan shomer Yisrael. Chevra, Hashem never sleeps. Hashem doesn't take his eye off of it. So even if a person is, trying to, I'm going to go the extra mile, I'm going to stay up late, and I'm going to find a way to get it done. Eventually, you're going to have to go to sleep. You're not God. Let's see, what is this quote? Don't stress over what could have been. If it should have been, it would have been. Yeah, that's a great quote. Asher Kayach, thanks for sending that. That's a good quote. Okay, so let's see. V'chein matzinu b'haman harasha. Right? Purim, again, is the ultimate example, says the Stipler Gaon, of HaKadosh Baruch Hu moving the pieces around in the ironic way. Shekol pu'ulosav sha'asa leman chazek ma'amado, everything that Haman does to strengthen his position, hei mahayu ba'ochirav lahapilo. They become his, what? They become his, ochirav means like the tormentors. Right? The trouble, everything Haman does that he thinks is going to advance the situation makes the situation more troublesome. And you see it, mamish, from the beginning of the Megillah, at the party of Achashverosh, according to the opinion in the Gemara, that Memuchan is Haman. Memuchan is the one who says Vashti needs to be penalized. So irony of ironies, Haman, who's called by this alternative name in the Megillah, Memuchan. Haman is the one who gets rid of Vashti, which means that Haman is the one who puts Esther into power. And it's Esther's position of authority which will in turn save Klal Yisrael, right? And send Haman to the gallows. So Haman was racing to try to get rid of Vashti. Now, what was Haman's issue with Vashti? Why was he so quick, right? As the Gemara says, a fool jumps to the head of the line to speak. Why was Haman rushing to give his advice to get rid of Vashti? Little did he realize, Al Yedei Zeh Nasis Esther Lamalka, what he was really doing was putting Esther in position. The he, and again, it itself, shall yod the haisam apalasa, that itself would be his downfall. Kamavur b'Megillah, as is clear from the Megillah itself. But why was Haman so hasty to get rid of Vashti? So Haman had all sorts of calculations. The Midrash gives a few examples. He knew ma she ya'at mamuchan lidchos es Vashti, mavur b'Medrash. The Midrash says, the opinion of three Amoraim. Chad Amar once said, Mipnei ki Vashti lo izmina es ishto alamishta. Haman had an axe to grind. Haman was upset that what? That Vashti didn't invite Mrs. Haman, Zeresh, to her party. So Haman, who was an advisor of Achashverosh, was personally insulted on behalf of his wife, and therefore ratza linkom ba. He wanted to get revenge against Vashti. That's why he gave the advice to carry out such a harsh decree against Vashti. It was personal. Wilachad manda amar cho. Lios kol ish sorer beveso. As the decree of the Megillah, the psak of Achashverosh, right? Haman was the one who initiated it, that he wanted it to be made as a chok, as a law, that every man should rule in his house. That every man should rule in his house. I saw him this past Friday night, and I asked him about something. He told me he went to the kfir this week, for the first time in many, many months. So I said, that's great, I'm so happy that you felt going. He has both vaccines at this point. So I said, why at the time you didn't go? Why didn't you go? He said, my wife wasn't comfortable with it. So I said, now that you decide you're going, did you ask your wife? I said, did you ask your wife? Or like you went and then you told your wife? So he said, no, I didn't ask my wife. So I said, okay, so you paskin like Achashverosh. So he said, what do you mean? I said, Achashverosh paskin. That kol ish sorer beveso. that a man should dominate his home. He doesn't need his wife's permission for anything. I said, okay, so you paskin like Achashverosh. He was a little weirded out by that statement. I paskin like Achashverosh. But that's what Achashverosh paskined, right? Achashverosh said, how dare Vashti not listen to me? Sounds like a very healthy home, right? But why did Haman want that psak? Why was Haman trying to get Achashverosh to send out that absurd proclamation, every man should dominate in his home? You know why? Because Haman was having issues with his own wife. Lefisha haisalo isha ra hasholetesalav. Haman had a wife who always told him what to do, and he was trying to take charge of the situation. The stipler's not going to mention it, but think about it for half a second here. Again, it's part of the irony here. Who does Haman get the advice from to actually create the gallows that eventually takes his own life? It's his wife, Zeresh. His wife gives him the advice. So Haman, who's trying to, you know, assert himself over everyone else, can't even, you know, make his own decisions. And his wife, ironically, who gives him the advice, is the one who, in a sense, gets him killed. And a third opinion, according to the Medrash, Ratza Shamelech Yisas Bito. You know why he wants to get rid of Vashti? Because apparently Haman had a very beautiful daughter, an eligible daughter, and he figures, if I can get rid of Vashti, we have a beauty pageant, my own daughter, I'm already so close with the king, my daughter will be the one to take Vashti's place. Umavur b'targum sheni, the targum sheni on the Megillah, says that actually his daughter came to the palace for the beauty pageant, and Hashem made it that she had a terrible smell, nasa reach ra yotze mipia, a terrible scent came out of her mouth, and she was kicked out of the Vigarshua, he sent her away. Haggai, the one who was overseeing the beauty pageant, sent her away. She was disqualified. But again, what do you see from all of this? Haman wanted to get more authority over his own wife. Haman wanted his daughter to marry the king. Haman was angry at Vashti that she didn't invite Zeresh to her party. Haman has all sorts of rabos, machshavos, believe ish. But Kadosh Baruch Hu comes along and Kadosh Baruch Hu says, that's nice, Haman, you could think like this, you could think like that. Aval b'mitziyah zeh haisa hachana l'malchus Esther. You could think, for whatever reason, you're getting rid of Vashti. Hashem says, I'm the one who's removing Vashti to put Esther in power, and she's going to be in position to get rid of you. V'shal yada nekar Haman min ha'olam. So friends, we have to realize, we think we're in charge sometimes. And it's hard to not think we're in charge. And again, we have to play the game. Hashem wants us to be mishtadl, but we have to know you're not going to outsmart HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's just not possible. And it goes further. You keep reading the Megillah, says the Stipler, and there's so many more examples of this. V'chein b'masha baba boker, lomar l'melech litlos as Mordechai. All of a sudden, Haman comes with this idea. He comes, you know, in the wee hours of the morning, late at night, to come to suggest to hang Mordechai. And when he shows up, he comes rushing in, right? Bezrizus, he comes in the middle of the night, he's coming. Happens to be, he shows up, Achashverosh happens to be awake. Why is he awake? He's awake because he's having a sleepless night and he's reading his book. And he says, there's someone who I want to reward and I have to come up with an idea. Haman comes running in. Achashverosh is like, what are you doing here in the middle of the night? That's what he's thinking. He doesn't say that, but that's what he's thinking. Aval be'emez zehaya siba shamelech yishalenu. And he comes running in and the king asks him, Mala asos, what should I do to the person who I want to give yakar, who I want to give kavod to? Vuhu, yeah, it's lasos kavod galdamod. And of course, Haman, the big Baal Gaiva that he is, Bechoshro, he's thinking to himself, Lami yachpos yosemi mani, who does the king desire more than me? He tells the king, give great honor. So the king says to him, this is in the sixth parak of the Megillah, Vamelech yitzaveyu, okay, good idea. Lasos came lamordechai. Wow, you want to give a lot of kavod? Good, go give a lot of kavod to Mordechai. Unbelievable. V'nafachu. That Haman's giving all this kavod to the one who he hates the most as he's coming. He came in the middle of the night to tell Achashverosh, we got to kill Mordechai. And he walks out, by his own advice, getting Mordechai a ride on the king's royal horse in the royal clothing. Gam ikar asiyas ha'etz kavoa chamishim ama hu ha'yesiba litliyasa. The very fact that Haman prepared the gallows, again, 50 amos tall, that itself led to his own downfall. Why? Ki kanira shal pi chuke parasu madai lo haya yachal Achashverosh la'aroges Haman. What happens? Esther says, there's someone who's trying to destroy me and my people. Mi hu zeh ve'ezo, who is that person? It's Haman. Yeah, of course, I know about that. I didn't realize that you're a Jew, but I know about that. I gave him permission to do that. So, however, there's laws in the land. Achashverosh can't give Haman permission to go kill people and then hold them accountable for it. He can't punish Haman for what Haman did. He did it with the king's authority. Right? If we were to go through a normal court proceeding, Haman would have a very simple defense. Ahasuerus, you gave me permission to do this. And he would be spared. However, the way things unfolded at that party of Esther, Umashu nofal almita, the fact that Haman fell on the bed as he was pleading with Esther to spare him, right? And the Gemara says the Malach pushed him on top of Esther, he could have said, I tripped. He could have claimed Shenafel Ba'ones. Again, under normal circumstances, Achashverosh loves Haman. They're best friends. And yet, this decision, this quick decision to hang Haman, is through what? Is through the advice of Charvona. Sha'amar gam hinei ha'eitz asher asa Haman, the very gallows that Haman made, litlos es Mordechai, asher diber tov al ha'melech omed v'beis Haman. The gallows that he made for Mordechai, by the way, Mordechai, the one who, again, who saved you, the king, is now standing in Haman's house. Umitoch es oiris hakas al hakol, amar achashverosh v'behilus, taluhu alav. And because everything is happening so fast, and because Achashverosh is so angry in the moment, he breaks the law of the land, in a sense. I mean, he's the king, but he breaks the law, and he ends up killing Haman. If those gallows were not prepared, he's not hanging Haman that second. If Charvona is not offering that advice, he's not hanging Haman that second. And yet, in the moment, Achashverosh is so angry that he does something so hastily that he kills his best friend Haman. But the irony of ironies is only because Achashverosh had what? Had prepared those gallows for Mordechai. That it was in position, he prepared his own death trap. The very gallows that Haman had prepared for Mordechai became what? Became the source of his own death. That's what the Gemara says. The Gemara explains on the Pasuk. The Eitz Asher Heichen, the tree that he had prepared, the gallows that he had prepared. The Gemara says, Heichin lo, lo heichin. What he prepared for himself he prepared. It was his own downfall. He prepared it la'atzmo heichin. Whereas the Pasuk says in Tehillim, listen to this Pasuk, powerful words of David HaMelech, Tehillim Perek Zayin. Listen to these words. This line over here is two psukim in Tehillim Perek Zayin. V'lo heichin klei maves. For himself he prepares the klei maves, you know, the vessels of death. Prepares his own weapons to destroy himself. Chitzav lidolkim yifal. A foolish person, chitzav, his arrows, lidolkim, for those who pursue him, yifal, he prepares. You sharpen the arrow that your enemy is going to use to kill you. Bor kara vayach pereyu, he dug a pit and made it even deeper. Vayipol b'shachas yifal. And then he falls into his own trap. So friends, that's the story of Haman. That's the story of Paro. That's the story of anyone who thinks they're going to be smarter than HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And again, you read through the Megillah and it's just irony upon irony of how HaKadosh Baruch Hu, every step of the way, is allowing Haman to set himself up for his own destruction. HaKlal, again, here's the rule, Chevra, in two lines. Ki kol ma'aseh enosh v'tach bulosof. All of our actions and all of our strategies, lo yo'ilu afilu kol shehu. Lahosif o ligroa mimashanigzer alav b'Rosh Hashanah. A person is going to get what they deserve every year. You're not going to get any different than what was decreed upon you on Rosh Hashanah. Zulas, he says, obviously, al yidei tefila, through tshuva, it's possible to overturn a gzar din. But naturally, you've been decreed. We've been signed and sealed in Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. We're going to get what we deserve. Umasha adam b'tach bulosav v'shtadluso matzliach. That which a person sometimes is successful. He has a good plan. And makes a good effort. Come upon him lifal kiritzono. Sometimes his actions cause his will to be achieved. Zayavo bedavar shekvar nigzar mishamayim. He's just actualizing what was already coming to him anyways. It was determined in Shemayim that it was going to be this way. Sheyeh gamkein. Lula ishtadluso. Without his ishtadlus, it would have happened one way or another. Hayin nigmar hadavar b'chi tov letovaso. It would happen to him this way or another way, right? So if he made a good investment, if he wouldn't have made that investment, I don't know, he would have got a big tax refund, or he would have won the lottery, or I don't know. some other way. His boss would have given him a raise. He would have found another way to get that parnasa. Right? There's no way for a person to avoid what a Kodesh Baruch Hu wants. So when you're all up frustrated and you're kicking yourself and you're saying, if I would have made a right turn instead of a left turn, I never would have gotten into that accident. I never would have gotten that flat tire. Right? Or if I would have heard about this investment a week earlier, I would have made a lot of money. Right? Or if I would have started dating before coronavirus, I would have been married by now. And now I'm stuck, meeting, I don't know, people on Zoom or whatever. Right? Whatever the frustration is, it's exactly where I'm supposed to be. Have the Yishuv Adas, have the Menuchas HaNefesh, have the Bitachon to understand that I'm exactly where I'm supposed to be. I'm exactly where I'm supposed to be. And I cannot outsmart a Kodesh Baruch Hu. V'yeshalo nigzor alav davar zeh, v'gam ken harbe pa menich moso latzliach. Rak shulu maso yafsid kamus hano azu mamish v'okom acher. Sometimes a person says, wow, I never expected to get this, right? But it's really just, it's just a Kodesh Baruch Hu again. But Hashem is going to take away something else that you also don't deserve. So Hashem keeps a very precise scorecard. And you're not going to touch one little thing in this world that doesn't belong to you. He says in the last line of this paragraph, V'chein amru chazal, the Gemara in Yoma. It looks like it says Lamed Hay. It's actually Lamed Ches. Lamed Ches Amed Beis. Ein Adam, these are Mamari Chazal to live by. Ein Adam nogeya b'mashe muchen l'chaveiro afilu kumlo nima. A person doesn't touch what is muchan, right? It's ironic that Haman's name is memuchan, right? Muchan means prepared. Everything was prepared. It was all set up. A person doesn't touch something that is muchan, that is prepared for his friend, afilo kumlo nima, even a hair's breadth. You're not going to cross that line even the tiniest bit. You're not going to move. You're not going to move the. You know. You're not going to move that border. You're not going to expand it one little drop. You're going to be exactly where you need to be in this world. Hishtadlus is part of the curse of Adam Rishon. We have to do our part to play the game. But we have to feel in the deepest way that we're in the hands of a Kodesh Baruch Hu. And there's nothing we can do. Nothing we can do to outsmart Hashem. Okay, Chaver, there's one final paragraph. Says the Stipler Gon. Ulefamim manichem es ha'adam al b'chiraso ha'ra lios makel chovlim la'achirim. Sometimes, interestingly enough, we have to deal with the question that sometimes our choices impact others. Sometimes a person, through his bechira ra, through his bad decision-making, becomes a makel, becomes what? A stick, right? To be chovel la'achirim, to injure others. Kefi masheroi lahem tsar kazeh. Right? Sometimes your decision impacts somebody else. And it's only because that person deserves to what? To get whatever they're getting as well. V'harbe shluchim l'makom baruch hu. And Hashem has many ways of getting a person what they deserve. So in other words, if you and someone else, injure each other, right? So you're both deserving of injury. Now, let's say one person was more passive, the other person was more the aggressor. So how do we understand that? Ela shebitur nisayon manichem la'adam ra, she'ehu ha'mazik ba'acherim b'b'chiraso. The way the Kodesh Baruch Hu works, the nisayon for the individual who decides, right? I decide I'm going to hit someone. Let's say I walk over to someone and I punch them, right? So says, Torah sources, our Torah sources tell us, the person who got hit deserved to be hit. Did I have permission to hit them? Can I claim, well, if he got hit, then it must be that I was doing what Hashem wanted, because he deserved to get hit. So I can't claim that. I made a bad choice. I had no right to hit that person. That was an evil thing that I did. But my Bechira, I made a choice to hit that person. Now, it happens to be that it's true. For whatever reason, if something happened to him, it was meant to happen to him. It's part of his life story. It's part of his the master plan for him. Lo shenigzar, look what he writes here. You have to understand this very carefully. Lo shenigzar shezeha mazik yasakein. It wasn't decreed that I, Moshe Tzvi, who went over and punched this guy, was intended to be the mazik. That was not part of the decree. I made a choice. Rak shenigzar shezeha nizak yekabel tzar kezeh. But the one who's on the receiving end has to look at me, and this is, by the way, how the Sefer Achinuch explains why the Torah says you can't take revenge, because if I'm a deep, believing Jew, I realize that the person who harmed me is not the one responsible for this. Hashem sent a messenger, even if this person was evil and made a bad choice, but I don't respond to him, I respond to God, because I was destined to get that suffering, to get that punishment, to get that difficulty in my life. V'ein ma'akvim yishamayim azeh, and a person has free choice. So again, so the fact that I raised my hand to strike him, Hashem didn't stop me because God gave me free choice. But the person who was hit by me, when he wants to punch me back, he has to say, it wasn't Moshe's fee. It came from Hashem. Now, the fact that I did it, I'm going to be held accountable for what I did. Hashem is going to hold me accountable. The fact that I now did this is going to lead to my punishment. And the reason that in some deep way that I came to do it is because Hashem what? Hashem put me in a situation where I would get in trouble because I deserve to be punished. I'm going to be held accountable for my bad choice. The fact that the one who is injured in heavens deserves to be punished in this way, that has nothing to do with my choice. Because I, the oppressor, the one who's inflicting the pain, I'm commanded by the Torah, don't steal. Lo signov, lo sigzol, v'lo sonu, don't oppress, don't cause hardship. All the azharas of the Torah are ben adam l'chaveiro that tell me don't do this and don't do that. So I don't have permission to do any of those things. If I stole his money, he has to say, listen, I deserve to lose the money. He has to look himself in the mirror and say, Hashem wanted me to lose the money. That's the only reason I lost the money. But the fact that Moshe Tzvi was the bad guy who took my money, that's between him and God. And trust me, Hashem is keeping score. Hashem will not let the oppressor get away with it. V'chein amru chazal in an amazing Gemara in Tanis Daf Yud Ches Amud Beis. The Gemara says that there was a day known as Trajan's Day, Turianus, the day of Turianus. What happened? Turianus came to kill some individuals, and when he came to kill them, he said, listen, I'm worried that maybe you're going to be spared like Hanani, Mishael, Azariah. The Jewish God is going to come to your rescue, right? And I'm not going to be successful in killing you. So they said to him, you're a Rasha, you're a fool. He said, you think that we're like Hanani, Mishael, Azariah, and you think that you're on the Madrega of Nebuchadnezzar? Have a look at the Gemara. My Turianus. What is Trajan's Day? Amru kishabikesh Turianus larog es lulianus upapus achiv beludkia. These two brothers were, these important leaders in Ludkia, were being threatened to be killed. Amar lahem. Ime amo shachanani mishal vazaria, if you're from the Jewish people. Right, so then let your God come and save you, just like you saved Hanani, Mishael, v'Azariah from the wicked Nebuchadnezzar. So Amrullah, they said to him, Hanani, Mishael, v'Azariah, we can't compare ourselves to Hanani, Mishael, v'Azariah. They were tzaddikim gemurin hayu. Uru'uyin hayu le'asos lahem nes. Right? They were big tzaddikim, and they deserved to see a miracle. And Nebuchadnezzar, who was threatening them, right, he deserved to have a nace come about through him because he was a chashev king. But then they said to Trajan, they said to him, they said, Turianus, Oso Rasha, you, head yotu, you're not so chashev. Ve'eno roi lasos nace al yado. Hashem's not going to save us, you know, even indirectly when you're trying to harm us, because you don't even deserve to have a nace come about through your hand. And furthermore, anu neschayavnu kolayo lamakum. We know we're imperfect. We know we have averos. We deserve to die. And guess what? V'im ein atah hargeno. If you don't kill us, harbe hargim yesh lo lamakum. Hashem has his ways. We're not going to outsmart Hashem, and you're not going to outsmart Hashem. V'harei dubin v'arayos yesh lo lamakum ba'olamo. Hashem has bears. Hashem has lions. Hashem could send a wild animal after me. There's a lot of ways Hashem can get a person if Hashem deems it, you know, necessary for a person to suffer in that way, right? And Hashem will get us. If Hashem wants us to die, we're going to die. If Hashem doesn't want us to die, we're not going to die. Elo masarnu HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'yadcha. You know why you're going to be the one to kill us and he's about to kill them? Elisha asid lipara damenu miyadecha. Hashem is setting up your downfall. We deserve to die, so we're going to die either way. But the fact that it's coming about through your hands, you know what's going to happen to you? You're going to now be a murderer and deserving of Hashem's punishment. Afal pichein hargon miad. Turianus was not impressed by their speech. He killed them on the spot. And chaver, listen to the last line of the Gemara. Amru lo zazu misham atchabo diyoypele meirome upatsu esmocho begizern. He was still standing on the spot where he executed them when suddenly two officials came from Rome, right? Two officials came from Rome, and they smashed Turianus over the head with clubs, and they split open his head. Upatuas moichel begizrin. They split open his head with beams, with rods. He was killed on the spot. He was killed on the spot. So what do you see from this Gemara? Why is this type of quoting this Gemara? Because again, it's the clearest reminder that HaKadosh Baruch Hu runs the world. And there's nothing a person can do to you know, the famous moment where the sixth Lubavitch Rebbe had a gun to his head. And he said, a human being who believes in what? Who believes in many gods and one world is afraid of a gun. But a person who believes in one God, who runs everything, and believes in multiple worlds, that if you kill me now, then I'm just going to Olam Haba, I'm going to a better world, I'm not afraid of the gun. To be able to say that looking down the barrel of a gun of a KGB officer is nisht pashut chavra. Okay? We got five lines left. Let's finish the piece. Let's end with Klal Yisrael and Mitzrayim. Va'afilu b'gzeiras ki ger yezer acha be'eretz lo lahem. When the Torah says in Bereishis Tesvav, that the Jewish people are going to be strangers in a strange land, that we're going to go through a gzeira called Mitzrayim. Shekvar nigzra gzeira she'ezo am sholet aleihem. Va'avdum v'inu osam. Right, that it was decreed from Shemayim that the Jewish people... I'm going to go up or down?
Up.
Up?
Actually down.
Okay, whoa. That the Jewish people... It was decreed that Yaakov would come visit us for the last minute of Shir. So when the Jewish people were told that they're going to be what? They're going to be strangers in a strange land. They're going to be suffering at the hands of other people. No? So why do the Mitzrim... A famous basic question, Chavra. So why do the Mitzrim deserve to be punished? Mikol makom ksiv, the very next pasuk says that what? V'gam es hagoy dan anochi. I'm going to punish the people, the individuals, who are going to harm you. So I don't understand. Put Mitzrayim on trial. And Mitzrayim says, hold on, we read the Chumash. You told Avram Avinu that the Jews are going to suffer. So we signed up to afflict the Jews. Right? That someone has to punish the Jews. The Rishonim asked the question, Lama nischayvu ha-Mitzrim oynish? Why should the Egyptians be punished? Me'achar shekvar nigzar, it was already decreed, it's a pasuk in Chumash, that one of the nations is going to afflict the Jews. And however, the answer is that Mitzrayim was not told to afflict the Jews. They had no rishus. They had no permission to sign up for that job. Amasha b'shamayim nigzar ala nizak, lios nizak. The fact that the Jewish people had to suffer, that's true. But that was not something that Mitzrayim was told that they're responsible for. And therefore, it's not really, again, our response is not, we're angry at Egyptians. Right? We're angry at, no. Hashem wanted the Jewish people to go through an experience in Mitzrayim. And the fact that we suffered in Mitzrayim, that's part of Hashem's master plan. But the Mitzrayim, who are our oppressors, they can't go, oh yeah, we were doing what Hashem... No, you can't do that. Unless Hashem tells you, befeirish, to do something, you're not able to do something. Okay? But however, this is a really fundamental piece. Just to understand that you can't outsmart a Kodesh Baruch Hu. So if you're feeling nervous about whatever it is, whether it's something in your professional life, or in your dating life, or in your family life, or in your parnasa, or in your health, or why this, or why that, take a deep breath and remind yourself you're better than Paro, and you're better than Haman, and a Kodesh Baruch Hu runs the world, and just keep davening. Keep davening that Hashem should send good things your way. But when we have, you know, bumps in the road, don't panic too much. Keep calm and keep serving Kodesh Baruch Hu. All right. I can see I have two little friends over here who are very eager for Daddy to finish here. So Daddy's going to finish here.
Nuh-uh.
We are done. It's okay.